Listen to the word of God found in Psalm 146. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God all my life long. Do not put your trust in princes, in mortals in whom there is no help. When their breath departs, they return to the earth, and on that day the very plans perish. Happy are those whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord their God, who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the strangers. He upholds the orphan and the widow. But the way of the wicked he brings to ruin. The Lord will reign forever, your God, O Zion, for all generations. Praise the Lord. Our second reading is from Hebrews chapter 9, verses 24 through 28. For Christ did not enter a sanctuary made by human hands, a mere copy of the true one, but he entered into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God on our behalf. Nor was it to offer himself again and again as the high priest enters the holy place year after year with blood that is not his own. For then he would have to suffer again and again since the foundation of the world. But as it is, he appeared once for all at the end of the age to remove sin by the sacrifice of himself. And just as it is appointed for mortals to die once, and after that judgment, so Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. Here ends our reading.
I invite you now to stand for the gospel. Reading from the Holy Gospel of Luke, the 20th chapter, verses 27 through 40. Some Sadducees, those who say there is no resurrection, came to him, that is Jesus, and asked him a question. Teacher, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies, leaving a wife but no children, the man shall marry the widow and raise up children for his brother. Now there were seven brothers. The first married and died childless. Then the second and the third married her. And so in the same way, all seven died childless. Finally, the woman also died. In the resurrection, therefore, whose wife will the woman be? For the seven had married her. Jesus said to them, those who belong to this age marry and are given in marriage, and those who are considered worthy of a place in that age and in the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage. Indeed, they cannot die anymore because they are like angels and are children of God, being children of the resurrection. And the fact that the dead are raised, Moses himself showed in the story about the bush, where he speaks of the Lord as the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Now he is God, not of the dead, but of the living, for to him all of them are alive. Then some of the scribes answered, Teacher, you have spoken well, for they no longer dared to ask him any question. This is the good news. You may be seated. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Remember a time when you couldn't sleep very well, and so you got up and you went to the TV, thought, if I just watch an old movie, maybe I'll get sleepy-eyed and I'll be able to go back to bed. And you discover those middle-of-the-night commercials. Arthur Schiff sold everything you can think of. He accomplished this in some 2,000 late-night commercials. I know you have heard some of his commercials. Buy now, he would always say, and then he would describe his product's amazing virtues, and then he would use the phrase he coined himself, but wait, there's more. And then he would give you one more bonus product to sweeten the deal, and write everything called, cost, or sold for just $19.95. I can't help but wonder if, as Arthur Schiff breathed his dying breath, he didn't hear a voice saying to him, but wait, Arthur, there's more. The Sadducees, they were the other religious group we know about, Pharisees, but the Sadducees in Jesus' day did not believe in life beyond the grave. And so they posed this question to the master. Teacher, they said, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies and leaves a wife but no children, the man must marry the widow and have children for his brother. Now there were seven brothers. The first one married a woman and died childless. The second and then the third married her, and in the same way, the seven died, leaving no children. Finally, the woman died too. Now then, they said to Jesus at the resurrection, whose wife will she be, since the seven were married to her? Quite a question, and my first thought is, guys, stay away from that woman. She's bad luck. It makes you wonder if perhaps she was poisoning those guys. Seven times a widow. But that's besides the point. Theoretically, what the Sadducees want to know is, whose wife will she be in heaven? Again, the Sadducees did not believe in heaven in the first place, as the text plainly notes. They were trying to trick Jesus to see if they could get him to say something that they could use against him. The Sadducees remind me of a story, a joke I heard about the Jesus Seminar. Ever hear of the Jesus Seminar? They are a contemporary California-based group of critics who would raise doubts about many of the gospel accounts, including the resurrection of Jesus. You may have, over time, read some of their pronouncements. They appear from time to time, and invariably they cause an uproar among many traditional believers. Well, the Reverend Ronald Hall, his name, Ronald Hall of Newark, Ohio, said when members of his congregation asked about the Jesus Seminar, he explains how seminar members go over a New Testament text, then they vote on it by its authenticity by placing a red, gray, or black marble into a box. I would tell them about the careful scholarship they went into their semi-annual meetings and about their three-color voting system. Hall said, I will tell them that after many years, they finally lost their marbles and published their findings. The Sadducees' approach to this riddle was less than sincere. They weren't really interested in what Jesus had to say about eternity. They simply wanted to trip him up. But as usual, right, Jesus was up to the task and to the occasion. Jesus replied, the people of this age marry and are given in marriage, but those who are considered worthy of taking part in that age and in the resurrection from the dead will neither marry nor be given in marriage, and they can no longer die, for they are like the angels. They are God's children, since they are children of the resurrection. With this answer, Jesus was firmly putting himself into the camp of those who believe in the resurrection. Of course, it wouldn't be long until he was making a resurrection a reality by his own return from the grave. God is not the God of the dead, said Jesus, but of the living, for to him all are alive. When our hearts are heavy with grief at the graveside of a loved one, Jesus is saying to you and to me, but wait, there's more. This is the most important good news that humanity has ever received. Everything else pales in significance. We hear of breakthroughs in the medical community from time to time. News about progress in the war against cancer and heart disease and diabetes and Alzheimer's, etc. And we are grateful. We want to cling on to life. But I think deep in our hearts, we know that these are only holding actions. One thing in life remains inevitable. We shall all die. Yes, we will. We shall all lose people whom we love to death. There is no more hopeful good news that can come to you and to me than that which was announced 2,000 years ago. Death has been defeated. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? And now I want to tell you about a man named Arthur Stace of Sydney, Australia. Arthur Stace. Stace earned an unusual nickname during his lifetime. They called him Mr. Eternity. The name reflected the incredible impact this one man had on his fellow country people. Stace grew up in desperate circumstances. He was the son of alcoholic parents who left him to fend for himself. He rarely went to school. He stole to support himself. He worked in a variety of criminal businesses, and he became addicted to alcohol himself, and he lived on the streets. But in the year 1930, Arthur Stace heard a message of Jesus and turned his life over to God in Christ. Inspired by the evangelist's message on eternity, Stace began writing this word, eternity, wherever he went. He tried to keep his new vocation a secret, writing this important word on the sidewalks and even public buildings of Sydney, Australia, each night. He believed that God was calling him to remind others to consider their spiritual state. The citizens of Sydney couldn't stop talking about this mysterious man who wrote the word eternity on every public place he could reach. They soon nicknamed him Mr. Eternity. In 1956, a local pastor discovered the identity of Mr. Eternity and interviewed him for a local newspaper. Arthur Stace died in 1967, having written the word eternity over a 500,000 spaces or surfaces throughout the city of Sydney. And in the year 2000, when Sydney hosted the Summer Olympics, city officials honored the memory of Arthur Stace by stringing golden lights across the Sydney Harbour Bridge, spelling out that one crucial word, eternity. 33 years after his death, a formerly homeless, illiterate man was making his influence felt due to his obsession with this one word and experience for himself, eternity. No one had to tell Arthur Stace, wait, there's more. I hope no one has to convince you that there is life beyond the grave. The world is so beautiful. Who would ever want to leave it? And life, right, is so precious. We want to hold on to it as long as we can. No wonder most people fear death. Neil Simon, who wrote The Odd Couple and Barefoot in the Park, was asked on the old Dick Cavett show whether making a lot of money concerned him. The studio went dead silent when Simon answered, "No, what does concern me is the fear of dying. It's the fear of dying." For some of us, death represents the great unknown. We read the biblical accounts of the resurrection and we believe. But still, right, there is this mystery and this hesitancy with a range of questions. The Reverend George Alexander tells a profoundly moving story about a woman he met when he was beginning his clinical pastoral education. We call it as pastor's CPE. She was 71 years old. Alexander was 24, just beginning in ministry. She had this lifetime of experiences, and as I said, he was just beginning in this profession of ministry. She told him about her life, her good times, her bad times, her awful times, her husband, her children, her grandchildren, church, but also her Lord. She was warm and candid. "I've lived a good life," she said. "The Lord's been good to me, but my husband's gone, and My children are grown. It's time to rest, to go home, to be with God and with my husband. Alexander, with the inexperience of youth, thought she was afraid of surgery, and so he reassured her. Oh, she said, these are fine doctors, and the nurses are great, but I've had a good life, a full life, and I am so ready to go home. The young pastor-to-be was baffled in the face of her contentment. She was calm. Nurses came to take her to surgery, and she asked him to read the 23rd Psalm, which he did. She spoke it with him, and the nurses joined in what became, says Alexander, an unforgettable moment of joy. He later went to see her, but the nurses met him ahead of that and told him before this elderly woman of faith could be put to sleep, she went to sleep. She went to be with God. Here's how George Alexander sums up his experience. I had listened critically with ears and mind, but my heart knew. I named the voice of God fear, accepted the joy in her life, and denied her enthusiasm about death. I stood next to eternity and couldn't accept it, he wrote. I wonder how many of us are like that. Eternity is this concept, but not a reality. We give assent to it with our intellects, but really fear it in our hearts. A child, I end with this story, was afraid to go down into a dark basement. How we can learn from our children. Daddy, she said, I have to go downstairs. Would you come with me? She thinks about it for a few moments and then adds, Daddy, would you go first and turn the light on? I wish Arthur Schiff, the TV pitchman, could come back to us this morning and testify, but wait, there's more. Of course, we do have someone who has been to the other side and returned to tell us that he has prepared for you and for me a room in his Father's house. God is not the God of the dead, says Jesus, but of the living, for to him